Okay, so we're going to continue with the Minhagim of davening. Last time we got through most of Psukei Dezimra, I believe, based on what I'm remembering. So I want to mention another point about Psukei Dezimra, and then move on to Yishtabach, Brachos Kriyas Shema, etc., and move on through davening. There is a minhag to give tzedakah during Psukei Dezimra. This minhag, there's different places where this might exist, different minhagim. Some say the minhag is to give Eposecha Tzedecha. Hashem opens his hands and gives to us. We open our hands and give tzedakah, like giving to Hashem, sort of. You know, we're doing Hashem's bid and will by giving tzedakah. So some of them to give Eposecha Tzedecha. Some say that you should give during Vayivarech David, towards the end of Psukei Dezimra. And the words, the key words there, are Ha'osher Ve'kavod Lefanecha. We say that Hashem, the wealth and the honor are before Hashem. So we mentioned the wealth Hashem is yours, then we give tzedakah to show that it's not our money, it's Hashem's money. And that makes a lot of sense. It's not kochi v'yotzim yadi, it's not my own personal strength that accrued all this wealth, it's because Hashem gave me this wealth, therefore I'm going to give back to Hashem by giving tzedakah. The Arizal would give at the words Ata Moshe Bakol, you Hashem rule over all. And the same idea, you know, Hashem rules all, so what I think is mine really belongs to Hashem, so I give tzedakah. So there's three places in davening in Psukei Dezimra where it's appropriate to give tzedakah. Again, it's a minhag, it's not a requirement, but it's a nice place. In shul, many men do give during that point in davening. You'll see them walking over to the pushka in the middle, you know, during Psukei Dezimra at that point. The concept of giving tzedakah before davening is really based on another idea. The Shulchan Aruch says the minhag is to give tzedakah before tefillah, and he quotes a pasuk, because really, I think the Gemara says this, Avani betzedek echazeh panecha. I will see, I will approach your face with tzedek. So literally tzedek means, you know, righteousness or justice, but also tzedakah. So the pasuk says, I approach Hashem through the zchus of tzedakah. So it's really a zchus for us. And the truth is, you know, we're asking Hashem to give us tzedakah. So if we give to the poor, we can then ask Hashem to give to us. It's midi kana gamida. Now, we are poor in our own ways. And when we give away our money, then we can ask Hashem, please give us, you know, your brachos, you know, your ashba upon us, because we give to others. So that's the minhag of giving tzedakah during davening. Just to get to Yishtabach. So Yishtabach, we mentioned, I think, last time, is the end brach of Psukei Dezimra. It's kind of the end bracket. Say brach shamar, Yishtabach, everything in between. Yishtabach was written by Shlomo HaMelech, according to many sources, so it does date back, you know, to very ancient times. It was added to tefillah also by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the aggressive tefillah. So there's no established tefillah until much later in history, but the actual words were composed by Shlomo HaMelech. So that gives its special chashivas we have in davening, is because it has that history to it. Which is why we stand for it. We stand for Yishtabach because, again, it's one of the special takanos of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It dates to Shlomo HaMelech, so it deserves that special kavod. On Shabbos, we add a nishmas. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam, asher kol yom v'ra. On Shabbos, we add a nishmas. Nishmas really goes, you know, from nishmas all the way through Shulchan Ad until we get to Yishtabach. That's all a part of nishmas. Nishmas is actually mentioned in the Zohar. So I guess there's a Kabbalistic source of saying Nishmas to be said on Shabbos. And it was also composed by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So much of davening is from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. That's the body of Chachamim that really established davening for us. We say this on Shabbos, again, based on the Zohar. When you get to Shochin Ad in davening, so it's interesting in Hagim as to when the Chazan for Shacharis gets up to start davening Shacharis. If you notice in Shul, for my sitter today, so I can read it inside. So if you notice, on Shabbos, the Chazan will begin with Shochin Ad. If you're there on time, you'll notice this. The Shochin Ad. On Yom Tif, the Chazan begins, you know, a few lines back, at Akel Basatzumo Suzecha. And on Yom Narayim, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the Chazan begins at HaMelech. There's a reason for that. Because really, these three different points, really all part of Nishmas, but these points kind of indicate the message of the day itself. Shabbos, it begins Shochin Ad. Shochin Ad means that Hashem, you know, dwells forever. And Shabbos is about Hashem creating the world and being, you know, the one who controls our world. So Shochin Ad Marom HaKadosh Shemo means that Hashem is here. Hashem created all and Hashem is there. And then he's there in the world for all of eternity. Yom Tov is marking Hashem's great Nisim. So we say Akel Basatzumo Suzecha, which means Hashem with the, you know, the might of His strength. It's discussing Hashem's power, because the miracles of Yom Tov are a display of Hashem's power. So you begin Yom Tov, Akel Basatzumo Suzecha. On Yom HaNarayim, we begin with HaMelech, because those are the days where we recognize Hashem as the King. So the Chazan begins at HaMelech. So this again, this is just based on Minog. There's no significance halachically to where the Chazan steps up there and starts. But each place he starts indicates the power of the day. Now it's interesting, there's another Minog which I've never seen done, but I guess it's out there. There's a Minog that the Chazan on Shavuos should begin with HaKel Besatzumo Suzecha. On Sukkos, with Hagadol Bichvod Shemecha, and on Pesach with Hagibor LaNetzach. So it would be breaking it up by the Yom Tov. So again, it seems to be that each line would indicate something about that day. It's actually hard to trace. Now Hakel Basatzumo Suzecha being Shavuos, I'm not sure, you know, the power of Har Sinai, I guess, would be indicated by that. Hagadol Bichvod Shemecha has to do with Sukkos, which again, it's not clear why Sukkos is Hagadol Bichvod Shemecha, and Pesach is Hagibor, which I guess shows Hashem's power of doing the Makos, or doing the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there's a minhag out there like that. I've never seen it done. Maybe someone else has, but the typical minhag in our shuls nowadays is they just begin with Hakel Sabbatsumos at Al Yom Tovim. But it's just interesting to note that the minhag actually indicates the meaning of the day itself. Next thing I have in davening is Baruch Hu. Now, Baruch Hu Lahalacha is really the official call to Tefillah B'Tzibur. Everything until Baruch Hu is not really done as a Tzibur. I mean, we happen to say it together in Shul, but really it's just saying the Tehillim with Baruch Sha'am Mar Yishtabach, and it's, you know, it could be done really in any way. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag, even in Shuls, is there's no Chazan really until you get to Yishtabach. There's no Chazan Pesukah Zimra. Just everyone just kind of says on their own, and then you get to Yishtabach, someone gets up there. Because that first part of davening is really just your preparation. It's getting you ready for davening. Baruch Hu is where we start davening really B'tzibur. And Baruch Hu is the Chazan calling everyone together for Tehillah B'tzibur. We have a minhag to bow down at Baruch Hu, and that minhag comes from a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. It says, Vayomer David l'chol ha'kahal, Baruch Hu Nas Hashem Elokeichem. So David says to the entire Kohol that you should Baruch Hu. The word Baruch Hu is there. Baruch Hu, bless Hashem your God. Vayvarchu Kol Kohol Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, and everybody give a bracha to Hashem, the God of their fathers. Vayikdu Vayishtachlu Hashem LaMelech, and they all bowed down to Hashem and to the Melech. So being that pasuk says it was really David calling out Baruch Hu, and it says they all responded through Hishtachavaya, they bowed down. So too we on a daily basis, when we hear Baruch Hu, we bow down as well. So that's where the bowing in Baruch Hu comes from. So when Baruch Hu really begins, we call Birkos Kriya Shema. Now Birkos Kriya Shema is next section of davening, and there's a mistake that we make. You know, if you heard the term Birkos Kriya Shema, so you tend to think these are brachas which are for Kriya Shema, about Kriya Shema. That's not really true. Because really it just means the brachos are situated around Kriya Shema, but they have nothing to do with Kriya Shema itself. They really stand alone. Meaning just to draw a contrast. Think a bracha on a mitzvah. You're about to be, let's say, mafresh challah. So you make a bracha, al hafreshes challah, and you take the challah off. So that bracha is on the mitzvah of taking challah. The brachos of Kriya Shema are not about Kriya Shema. We call them Birchos Kriya Shema because they are situated in davening around Kriya Shema, but they're really just their own brachos to stand alone. That's they are. And these brachos are brachos which are really supposed to direct us in focusing on Hashem as the King of the world. The way I like to look at it, if you look at this, there's three brachos that you say. The first bracha begins, Baruch Atah Hashem Kim Acham Yotzer Avari Choshech, and that bracha ends with the bracha of Yotzer Ma'oros. So that first part of Birchos Kriya Shema, it appears in a siddur in many paragraphs. That's how it's printed. But really, it's one long bracha. So it begins again with Yotzer Or, ends with Yotzer Ma'oros. The second bracha begins with Ava Rabba. It's a shorter one. And then it ends with HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael B'Ahava. And the third bracha begins after Shema, Emes V'Yatziv. And that bracha is also a long one and ends with Gal Yisrael. So we get confused sometimes in the Siddur because it's printed in, I don't know, 12 different paragraphs or something. So we think these are all different brachos. But the truth is, it's really only three brachos. And each one you have the beginning bracha of before Yitzhar Ma'oros. Yitzhar Ma'oros is one. Bilcher Bama Yisrael, Biava is two. And Gal Yisrael is three. So three brachos. Now, what's the meaning of these three brachos? So the way I like to look at it is that these three brachos are the three pathways in which we increase our emunah. I'll tell you what I mean by that. I think that we can understand that for one to strengthen emunah, there's really three ways to get there. One way is by contemplating the beauty and the greatness of Hashem's world, of nature, of animals, of beautiful scenes around you. It's seeing the world as is and seeing Hashem's greatness. One way to reach emunah is through Torah. You learn Torah, you see the chachma in Torah, you see the beauty of Torah, you see the lifestyle of Torah, and that helps increase emunah. And the third way to increase emunah is through witnessing Hashem's hashkacha in the world. It's through history, it's through nisim which occur, it's through Hashem guiding us in life. That's the third way. So really, you have three pathways to increase in emunah. And I really think anything that we do in life that helps us grow in our emunah is one of those three categories. And I think those three are probably pretty all-inclusive. So the truth is, Birchas Kriya Shema, I think, indicates to us all three of these pathways. And Birchas Kriya Shema is focusing us on increasing in our emunah, increasing in our connection to Hashem in these three ways. So to explain that, the first bracha of Birchas Kriya Shema is Yotzer HaMa'oros. And that bracha really discusses Hashem forming the great luminaries, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars. And it talks about nature. It talks about Amir L'Arz, and Hashem gives light to the world. And it talks about the Chachma of Hashem's creations. And the end bracha there is Yotzer Ma'oros. Hashem forms all the different light-giving sources of this world. So that bracha should zero us in on us seeing Hashem's beautiful world, seeing the beauty of Hashem's Bria, and that should increase the moon in that way. The second bracha of Ava Rabba, the focus in that bracha is on the Torah. Ava Rabba itself is thanking Hashem for giving us the Torah, and Ava Rabba actually can stand in, we mentioned this a few weeks back, as Birchas HaTorah. If somebody forgot Birchas HaTorah, then Ava Rabba takes the place of that. And you can actually have Kavana during Ava Rabba to carve Birchas Torah in your davening. So Ava Rabba is the bracha on Torah, and that indicates growing in Emunah through the Torah itself. And then the third bracha, which is Gal Yisrael, discusses Yetzias Mitzrayim. It discusses Hashem guiding us, doing nisim, taking us out from bondage into freedom. And that's the ability to increase emunah through the hashkacha of Hashem in this world. To perceiving hashkacha, to perceiving Hashem guiding our lives, creating nisim. And that's the third bracha here. So really, these three brachos are the ways to grow in emunah. I guess to elaborate just for 1 minute on each of these categories. When you talk about growing in emunah through nature, so I think there's many ways to do that. One is just to look at the beauty. What a beautiful world Hashem gave us. Now you can see a sunset, you can see a mountain range, you can see rivers, you can see oceans, you can see incredible animals. I mean, all those things, they encourage us to grow in our emunah. If you take the perspective of a maimon, that we know that I was created by Hashem, so you should be astounded by the beauty of the Bria around us. Beyond that, there's the complexity of the Bria. It's not just beautiful, but it's complex. Everything is so elaborate. The way things function is amazing. If you learn a little bit of science, anatomy, and any sort of way that the Bria works, you're always amazed by how intricate it is, how complex it is, and all you do is say, "Wow, Hashem creates such amazing things." They say Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, he went to the zoo once in his life. We're talking about in Poland in, I don't know, probably in the 1920s or something, 1930s. And he said after that day, his davening was never the same, ever again. I mean, his emunah had grown so strong by seeing zoo animals, he was a changed person. That's what he said. So many of us see these things and we don't change ourselves in that way. But looking around in nature should be something which really is astounding, which is really inspiring, and should help us grow in emunah. So that's the first bracha here. So Yotzer Ma'oros is a bracha focusing on that. The next bracha is talking about Torah. And I also think growing in emunah through Torah is something which there's many facets to it. Number one is Har Sinai itself. When Hashem gave the Torah, the revelation at Har Sinai was so powerful. When every single Jew heard Hashem speak, so that laid the foundation of emunah for eternity. And always referencing back to that experience, that increases emunah. We have that in our Masorah, we have that passed down from generation to generation, parent to child. And that experience is the basis of emunah. Number two is, you know, when one learns Torah and sees that the beauty in the chachmot in Torah, that also should increase emunah. When you see the depth, when you see the wisdom, when you see the complexity of Torah, it's such a vast work, and everything sort of comes together into one, you know, beautiful thought. That should increase emunah. And beyond that, the lifestyle that Torah leads us to. When you live a Torah lifestyle and you feel the beauty of Torah mitzvos, that also should increase a person in emunah, because I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing Hashem's greatness through the way I live my life. That also increases emunah. So that's the idea of Abulchir Ba'amo Yisrael Bi'ahava. When Hashem chooses Klai Yisrael and gives the Torah, that increases emunah. And the third point was Hashkacha. So Hashkacha, as the Bracha puts it, is that Hashem saves us from Mitzrayim. That's number one. But it's beyond that, because the Bracha is Ezras Avosenu, that Hashem is the one who gives help to our ancestors, and that continues on to this very day. I mean, Ezras Avosenu is telling us that Hashem is always there guiding us in life, really through every single step. And the more we can focus and witness Hashkacha in our lives, the deeper emunah we have, the more connected we are to Hashem, because we feel that. This Bracha is not just about history, but talks about how Hashem is the master of the world currently. And He's always saving us from difficult situations. He's always there for us. He's motzi asrim poda anavim. You know, Hashem takes out those who are imprisoned, and He redeems those who are humble. Ozer dalam, He helps those who are weak. And He answers His nation when we call out to Him. So it's a bracha to focus us on Hashem's help in our own everyday lives. Now the Hashkacha Hashem has through our history. When you learn history, when you see the history of Klai Yisrael, it also is an incredible lesson of emunah. When you see the Hashkacha involved in every generation, when you see the line which carries from the Churban Bayis till this very day, even when it's difficult times, but you see Hashkacha there. And when the Hashkacha is there, that increases your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think this topic we can go on with for much longer time, but to me that's the summary. So these three brachos are brachos which are helping us connect to Hashem, and these brachos are increasing our emunah, because when you daven, davening is an act of emunah. Davening is where Hashem, I'm here speaking to you, making requests because I feel that you're present in my life, and that's the feeling of emunah. So that's the intro to Birkas Kriya Shema. So I go on with the Nehagim. I'm going to skip Shema for now. We'll go back to Shema in a minute. I just want to talk about some other Minhagim here. There's a minog to stand up when we get to Tilos Lekel Yom Baruch Mivorach. So right before Shemona Esrei, at the end of Ezra Savaseinu, so you have the line Tilos Lekel Yom Baruch Mivorach, and then the minog is to stand up at that point and remain standing until Shemona Esrei. So why is that the minog? So I saw that the minog is based on the following. The Gemara, it talks about what's the proper way to get yourself into davening. I mean, when you're about to daven, what's the mood you should be in prior to davening? So the Gemara says, "Ein omdim lespalel, lo mitoch atzvus." You can't stand up to daven from a state of depression or sadness. "Lo mitoch schok." You shouldn't stand up to daven from a state of, you know, being loose, laughter, etc., being silly. "Lo mitoch sicha." You shouldn't stand to daven after idle chatter. "Lo mitoch kalos rosh." Not after being lightheaded. Not after being involved in meaningless matters. So all these things are not the way to approach davening. So how do you approach davening? El mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. The way to get into davening is to step into davening from a simcha shel mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says. So the best way to begin davening is when you feel a simcha in a mitzvah. Part of all the preparation we do in tefillah, in the siddur, we have all this, we have Pesukei Zimra, Birchas Kriya Shema, everything leading up to davening is to get us into a mood that we're having a simcha in davening, having a simcha in serving Hashem. And from that you can step into davening. So why do we stand up at Tilos Keloyon? So it's because the line right there says, let's go to the siddur, the line says, It says, Tilos Lekel Yom Baruch Mivorach, Moshe Bnei Yisrael Chanu Shira B'Simcha Rabba V'Emru Chulam. So it says we're giving our praises to Hashem, because Moshe and Bnei Yisrael, they said a Shira B'Simcha Rabba, with tremendous Simcha. So that line in davening mentions the idea of a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It talks about Klal Yisrael praising Hashem Mitoch Simcha. So when you hear that, then you should be living that. You should feel that emotion. And then that's the time to stand up to daven, because it says you're omed for tefillah mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. So we stand up with the word Simcha Rabbah, which is tremendous Simcha, the praise of Hashem. So what this means for us is that we should feel that. The problem that we have is that we say the line, but we don't really connect to the line. So we stand up at the line because that's the Siddur says, stand up over here, so we stand up. But really we should be standing up at that point because we felt a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. We feel emotionally attached to the words. Those words create a Simcha within us. We're living through it, and therefore we stand up. It's always worthwhile if we ever have the time and focus to sort of envision what's happening in davening. As it describes the Shira at the Yam, so picture what would it be like to be at the Yam Suf. You know, if I was standing at the Yam Suf, and I just experienced Kriyas Yam Suf, and I had just been a slave, and all the Mitzrim just got killed out, and I saw Hashem's hand doing incredible miracles, how would I feel? I would feel Simcha Rabbah. And if you stood there singing the Shira of Moshe Rabbeinu, or if Miriam Hanaviah, how would you feel? You would feel on this lofty plane that you could never even imagine how high you would feel at that moment. So if you can at least sort of experience that emotionally, even on a small level during davening, and then stand to daven, that's a true Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's the goal in davening. We're usually too distracted to have these visions. But every once in a while we can really picture what's happening. It's a very special experience. It's the same thing when you say Az Yashir. You know, if you say Az Yashir and you picture yourself standing at the sea, singing it, it's very different than just saying the words. So we stand up at that point because it mentions Simcha Rabbah, which have a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, so we stand up. The Birkos Kriyas Shema ends with the bracha of Gal Yisrael. And it's important to contrast. We have a bracha Shemona Esrei of Goel Yisrael, and the bracha in Birkos Kriyas Shema is Gal Yisrael. One's past tense and one is present tense. So it's important to make that distinction as to why is one past and one present. Because we mix it up sometimes. You know, you don't mix up the wording. So the bracha of Birkos Kriyas Shema is Gal Yisrael. It's past tense because that bracha, as we said, is talking about history. It's talking about Hashem's miracles in Mitzrayim. So it's past tense. Hashem, you redeemed Klal Yisrael. And that's past tense. The praise of Hashem. In Shemona Esrei, we're davening for the present and for the future. So we say, Goel Yisrael, which is present, the Hashem, you are the redeemer of Klal Yisrael, and therefore you'll bring me the redemption that I'm asking for. So we have to always make sure we understand the difference between Goel Yisrael and Goel Yisrael. Next very important point is a halacha, which the Gemara says, which it's important that we are careful with. Even when it comes to davening for women, one of the things the Mishnah Berurah mentions is it's important to actually fulfill this as well. And that's the concept of being Somech Gul Letfila. The Gemara says that it's very important that you say Gal Yisrael and then daven Shema Yisrael immediately. No interruptions. So even though technically women may not be Chayav in Birkos Kriyas Shema, the Mishnah Berurah says that women should still say this bracha because you want to be able to fulfill the concept of being Somech Gula Tefillah. You want Gula, Gal Yisrael, to be right next to Tefillah. And the halacha here is that you should have no interruptions. I mean, ever else in davening, you know, maybe if you want to take a pause, there's certain heterim you have to interrupt. You know, each place has its own special halachas, but when it comes to Gal Yisrael and Shema Esrei, once the words Gal Yisrael are said, you start Shema Esrei immediately. You know, no interruptions, no nothing. You should go right into Hashem Svasa Tiftach and start Shema Esrei. So that's the Gemara says. So why is this? So let me read you the Gemara and then we'll explain why this is so important. But it's an obligation and it's something that we should be careful with. The Gemara says, Amar of Yochanan, Ezu Ben Olam Haba. Yochanan says, who is a Ben Olam Haba? Zeh Somech Ge'ula Tefila Shel Arvis. This is somebody who makes sure the bracha of Geula is right next to davening and Mariv, and Mefarshim say, and certainly at Shacharis, which is even more important. So there's some concept that if you daven Shema Esrei immediately following the bracha of Geula, you're a Ben Olam Haba. So we mentioned last time, it was 2 weeks ago, how we have the same idea about saying Asher three times a day. Say Asher three times a day, you're also a Ben Olam Haba, the Gemara says. So this terminology is used a lot in the Gemara, and it's indicating a certain accomplishment or mindset that we achieve that will make us, you know, fit for Schar. That's what it means. So why is it so important? Why does saying Geula next to Tefillah, why does that have this such an important halacha that you're Ben Olam Haba and you can't interrupt? Where is it coming from? So there's three different interpretations which I found. First is Rashi. Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi, And Rashi says, he says, Mishmisha eino sum gula tefila. If you do not say geula next to tefila, l'ma'u dome, what's it similar to? So he gives a mashal. He says, l'ovo shel melech, it's like the king's friend. Sheba, that came a dafak al pischo shel melech, and he knocked on the king's door. Yatza melech, the king comes to answer the door. U'matzo shiflig, and the friend had already left. So imagine, you knock on the king's door, and as he's walking over, you run away. Like a prank or something. Afu hiflig, so the king also runs away. The king says, forget about this guy. He thinks he's my friend, and then I come to the door, and he's already left. So, El Yerem Mekarev L'Kosh Baruch Hu Elohim Ratzeu B'Tishbachos V'Hilus and Shos Yisrayim. So, let's understand in davening, in the context of davening. As you daven, Birchos Kriya Shema, you are knocking on Hashem's door. You're saying praises of Hashem. You said Shema. You're not talking about Yisrayim, you're praising Hashem for being the one who saves Klal Yisrael and does all these amazing things. So you've now knocked on the king's door. When it's carved in love, and Hashem comes close. Now imagine if at that point you said, okay, see you later, and you run away. You haven't even met with the king yet. Shemona Esrei is when you actually meet with the king. Until that point is preparing. So you've prepared yourself, you knocked on the door, you're all ready, you've said your praises, and as soon as the king's about to open the door, you jet. That's it. So that would be a chutzpah, obviously, and that would also be just, it would be silly. Because you have an opportunity now to make requests of the king. He's coming close to you. You've made him happy. He's ready to answer your requests, and you've lost it. You've given it up. So Rashi says, "Odo karmelav yeshlovis boatz rachav." So while the king is close, you should request your needs. So Rashi's understanding that the idea of being some good tefillah is that geula was the full preparation of coming close to Hashem, of praising Hashem, of knocking on the king's door. And now if you just run away at that moment, you've blown it. You've lost your opportunity. So that's why it's so significant. That's one way to look at it. There's two other ways to look at it. One is, this is from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. He says, Shatam shezocha l'schar gadol kazeh. So why is one zocha to the schar being ben olam haba through this, through being so much good tefillah? When Hashem talks about Mitzrayim, it was for the purpose of being Hashem's servants. Right? Like Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the sign that I will do all these nisim, take you out of Mitzrayim? Because you'll see, you're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. And when we left Mitzrayim, the first thing we do, we say, Halol, Halol of De Hashem, Rab De Hashem. The purpose of Mitzrayim was to become Avadim to Hashem. We're supposed to become Hashem's servants. So Rabbeinu Yonah continues and says, because the pasuk says, "Ki avadai him, they are my servants." Asher tzeisio sam meretz Mitzrayim. Uvirchas gal Yisrael masker ba chesed. So we say gal Yisrael, and we mention Hashem's great chesed to us. Shasei manu abarei that he took us out of Mitzrayim. So the bracha of Gal Yisrael discusses Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. Ve'tzfilu hi avoda. So what's the avoda? When we say that we are servants of Hashem, what's one of the main expressions of being avadim? It's tefillah. The tefillah is referred to as avoda. Tefillah is where we submit ourselves to Hashem's will, to Hashem's control. Like it says in the Gemara, quotes a pasuk, "Vavatem as Hashem lokechem." The pasuk says you should serve Hashem, do avoda. And the Gemara says, "Zui tefillah tefillah." So tefillah is called avoda. We mentioned, I think, a few weeks back, the primary descriptions of avoda are the karbanos and tefillah. So when you mention Yisrayim and you daven immediately, Mare, you indicate to Hashem, Shekamoshe Eved Shekono So Rabo Chayv Lasos Mitzvos Rabo, just like an Eved who is purchased by a master, has to do his master's will. Kenhu Makir Atova Vagu'ula Shegalo So Bore, we recognize Hashem purchased us. When Hashem took us out of Yisrayim, we became His Avadim. That was the Kinyan. That was when Hashem made us into His people, His servants. So once you're Hashem's servant, what do you have to do? You have to serve Him. How do you serve Him? Through tefillah. Vovodoso. Because you recognize you're Hashem's servant, because Hashem redeemed you, and you do His will and His mitzvos. So that's the idea of being sumgul tefillah, and that's why you're zochet such a schar. Why do you get such a schar for this? Because it means that you get it. You get the idea that Hashem saved you, and you're His servant. So deep down, if you're fulfilling this concept properly, you're recognizing your role in this world, that you're Hashem's servant. That's what you're recognizing. So this is the second approach. The second approach is Rabbeinu Yonah. He says that Geula is by Yitzis Mitzrayim. Yitzis Mitzrayim's purpose was to become Hashem's Avadim. So if you mention Yitzis Mitzrayim, you have to actually act it out. You have to actually, okay, so now that I'm an Eved, now that I've just said all these different praises of Hashem, He took us out of Mitzrayim, these great miracles for us, let me show Him that I mean it. Let me show immediate Avdus. So I start davening. Shemar Esrei. Shemar Esrei is an act of Avdus. That's service of Hashem. And therefore, I'm fulfilling the purpose of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So that's the second interpretation here. There's a third approach, also quoted by Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says that the third approach is the following. When you mention Yitzis Mitzrayim, so then you daven, what you're doing is you're showing your trust in Hashem. Which means what? Yitzis Mitzrayim is all about teaching us that Hashem runs the world. It's not Hashkacha, it's about Hashem's control over the Bria, and therefore it's showing that I should trust that Hashem takes care of me. Because look, He took care of me in Mitzrayim, He overturned everything for my sake, Hashem must always take care of me. So if I recognize Hashem takes care of me, so then I want to immediately live that out. I want to act it out. So how do you do that? I do it through davening. Davening is an act where I show my trust in Hashem. I say, Hashem, I need wisdom, I trust You're going to take care of that for me. Hashem, I need refuah. I trust You're going to take care of that for me. Hashem, I need parnasa. I trust You're to take care of that for me. And our davening is living out our amuna. It's bitachon. Bitachon essentially is, the way that I would put it, and the amuna is, we'll call it a concept, bitachon is living out reality. So we can say that we believe that Hashem runs the world. But where do I actually live that out? Through acts of bitachon. So davening is actually a display of bitachon, that I trust that Hashem takes care of my life. So when I mention Yitzis Mitzrayim, I'm showing Hashem, You care for me, You care for the world, You do miracles, You run everything. So immediately I jump into davening, which is an act of bitachon. He continues and says, "Kimash mavakish mimenu tzrachim." When you ask your needs from Hashem, if you don't trust in somebody, you don't ask Him anything. If I don't trust you, I'm not going to make requests out of you, because I don't trust you're going to do it. It's only because I trust that Hashem will do my requests, I make these requests. V'chen nira be'elu shmos rabba. We also have a medrash to this effect. The medrash says, she'omer l'sham, she'kesh'ero Yisrael ha'nisim v'niflos, she'haya ilsim ha'mavorei. So when the Klai Yisrael saw the miracles in Mitzrayim, they were supernatural. Baruch Hu, they trusted in Hashem. V'alzinemar, and that's why it says in the Pasuk, V'yar Yisrael siyada gadola asher asah Hashem Mitzrayim. It says that Klai Yisrael saw the great hand of Hashem Mitzrayim. V'yirmas Hashem, Klai Yisrael feared Hashem. V'amir b'Hashem Moshe Abdo, and they believed in Hashem and in Moshe. So the Pasuk tells us they saw the greatness of Hashem's miracles in Mitzrayim, and immediately they put their trust into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we're mentioning now in davening this geula of Mitzrayim, v'tzilam, that Hashem saved us, mispal miyad, and we daven right away, nimtza shegam hu boteach bo shiyano. So that shows that we trust that Hashem will answer us. Like He answered Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim. That's why you have to mention geula and daven right away. And then he says a very interesting line. He says, "V'abitachon, hu ikar hayira v'amuna." Bitachon is the basis; it's the roots of yiras Hashem and amunah Hashem. Nufichach zochet besibas olchay olam haba. Therefore, you're zochet through this to olam haba. So that's our third approach now. So let's just review for a second. We have this concept of being soma geula tefila. You want to make sure that geula is right next to tefila. Right? You say Gal Yisrael, Hashem supposed to tip off. You start davening. No breaks. No interruptions. Why is that? So Rashi said, because you've knocked on Hashem's door, you've prepared yourself, Hashem is pleased with your praises, make your request, don't run away. So right away daven, to take advantage of the moment. So according to Rashi, it's for our benefit that we have the king's attention, so take advantage. That's what Rashi understands. Rabbeinu Yonah's first understanding is that Yitzis Mitzrayim is the concept of Avdus, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim so we can be His servants. And therefore, after he mentioned Yitzis Mitzrayim, the immediate response from a Jew is to be Oved. We have to serve Hashem. And davening is Avoda. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah's first understanding, the idea is that if davening is real to us, and we really feel the praise of Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim, then we are driven to action immediately, which is serving Hashem. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah. And then the third approach is, this is the second one of Rabbeinu Yonah, this third approach we mentioned, is that because it says Mitzrayim is the lesson for us about Amunah and Bitachon, that we should trust in Hashem and trust in Hashem B'Hashkacha, so we immediately daven, which is an expression of Bitachon. That's the third point. So it's important for us, l'halacha, that we mention Gal Yisrael and daven expressor immediately. Again, it's said in the Mishnah Berurah that even women who might be skipping other Birchos Kriya Shema, this one should be said because of the importance of this concept, to be some gula tefillah. So this is recommended even for women who are skipping other parts of davening. And the idea is that this is considered a great, you know, a powerful part of davening and a great way to please Hashem. So he answers your davening even more powerful way, in a more immediate way. So that's Birchos Kriya Shema. I want to go back now to Shema itself and discuss some of the different concepts of Shema. Shema essentially is, again, Shema is the centerpiece of Birchos Kriya Shema. Again, the brachos don't necessarily connect to Shema, but they're built around Shema. Shema is essentially a chiyuv d'oraisa. It's a Torah command to say Shema morning and night for men. Women are paturos from Shema. It's aseishas man grama. However, it's advised to say Shema because Shema is so important. The Shema is kabbalas olmachus shemaim. Shema is our expression that we are submitting ourselves to Hashem in our daily lives. So women need that too. So even though women are technically putter from Shema, again, the Mishnah Berurah says, and it makes a lot of sense, that women are advised to say Shema daily because of its importance in Klal Yisrael. If you want to know, you know, what is the true national anthem of a Jew, it's Shema. That's our national, that's who we are. That's what we stand for. And that those are our words. That's our beliefs. That's our heart and our soul. That's, you know, every Jewish kid is taught Shema from the start. That's why we say the last words in our mouths, as we move on, should be Shema as well. And then that's and through our lives, you know, Shema is the, you know, Shema is the theme of what we live for. That's Shema. The when you're saying Shema by yourself, not in a minyan, so you begin with the words Kael Melech Neman. So many don't understand why those words are added in. The Siddur says, if you're in a minyan, you don't say them. If you're davening on your own, you say them. So what's the concept of Kel Melech Neman? So this is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, and the concept is the following. In a Kriya Shema, if you were to count it up, has 245 words in it. We know famously that our body has 248 limbs, or Machi Varim. So you want to be able to complete 248 words as part of Shema, because the idea is that every single word of Shema will protect, illumine your body. That's the concept. I think it's based kind of on a Zohar, and there is an idea in general that, you know, every mitzvah is connected to illumine the body, and then you have words of Kriya Shema connected to illumine the body. And the idea is the words of Kriya Shema, they do protect us and they give us the Shmira. But the words are 245. And there's 248 limbs. So what do? So if you're in a tzibur, what you do is the chazan repeats Hashem Lekechem Emes at the end. And those three words you repeat, that covers 248. So you have your 245 you said, and the chazan goes back and says three more words, so you get 248. That happens when you're davening in a minyan. When you're davening by yourself, then there's no chazan, no one's repeating any words. But it's used to still fill in the gaps of three more words, so you get 248. So how do you do that? There's actually a few options mentioned. So the easiest option is the minhag that we have is to say the words Kel Melech Neman prior to Shema. Those three words will complete the 248, and then you have 248 words in Shema. So that works out very nicely. The other one's more complicated. There's another Eitzah given, how to get 248, a much more complicated Eitzah. I'm not sure why this Kel Melech Neman is not easy enough to be the only Eitzah which is there, but for some reason there is another approach to this, which is that, and it's for focus, it's a little more complicated. Again, we're trying to get to three more words. So how do we get there? So right after Shema,
sorry,
no problem, you have the bracha of Emes V'Yatziv. That's right after Shema in the Siddur. Go back to that. So that bracha, it begins with the word Emes V'Yatziv V'Nachum V'Kayim V'Yashar V'Nemma V'Hu V'Achavi V'Nechma V'Noyim V'Nora V'Adir V'Umasukan V'Kobal V'Tov V'Fed V'Varazah. So that's that bracha. So if you notice, the first set of words, the Om begin with a Vav. Right? So the if you count it up, I didn't try it, but the halacha says it's true, so I assume it's true, is that there are 16 words there that begin with Vav. V'yatzev, v'nachon, v'kayam, v'yashar, v'neman, v'yahu, v'achaviv, v'nechmad, v'naim, v'nara, v'adir, u'mesukan, v'kubal, v'tov, v'yafeh. I got 15 words. Okay, that's right, 15 words. Thank you, 15 words. Okay, so that's right. 15 words. So you have 15 Vavs there. So Vav is Gematria 6. 15 times 6 is 90. Okay, so far so good. Right? You have 15 Vavs. Vav's Gematria 6. 15 times 6 is 90. The Shem Hashem, the Shem Havai, Yudke Vavke, is Gematria 26. Right? But if you were to also include in the four letters of the word, you get to 30. Right? So Yudke Vavke is 26, but it's a four-letter word. So therefore, in a positive way, right? So you add in those four letters, you get to 30. 3 times 30 is 90. So what you're doing here is another way to get in your 248 is you're mechavin that for these vavs in your davening, these vavs equal 90. 90 is the gematria of Hashem's name 3 times, and that got you 3 more words. So, Kiyomach Nema is much more simple. That's that's clear. So I guess it's just interesting because we're adding words and davening aren't really there to get Kiyomach Nema. And so I guess maybe that's why you'd have another approach as well. Again, the Minhag Yisrael is to say Kiyomach Nema, and I don't think people are really keeping track of the 15 Vavs and the three names and stuff. That's hard to focus on. But the goal of all of this is to get to 248, which is the amount of limbs in the body, which therefore every word of Shema should protect our limbs. That's the concept. The pasuk says Rifus hi l'sharecha v'shiklat mosecha. It says that Torah is a refuah for your flesh, and it's nutrition for your bones. So words of Torah give a refuah and protection for ourselves. And therefore, we want to make sure those words correspond to all of our limbs so we get that special shmirah. That's the idea. The halacha is that you need to...
Yeah. Tefillah is? Or Torah?
Torah. Yeah, Torah. So the word Shema is words of Torah.
Okay.
Right? And therefore, those words of Torah should protect our limbs and give nutrition to our flesh and to our bones. That's the idea. The halacha is that you need to have kavana in the first line of Shema. And I'm going to maybe elaborate that for 1 second. There's a term called mitzvah svichos kavana. Mitzvah svichos kavana in general means that when you do a mitzvah, you must know you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. So for instance, if it's Rosh Hashanah and you know I'm in a marching band and I start tooting my shofar, right? I'm not yotze. Because mitzvahs need kavana, that's for the sake of a mitzvah. If I know it's a mitzvah and I blow shofar, even though I have no idea what shofar means and I'm not really sure you know where it comes from, but I'm blowing I know it's a mitzvah and I'm blowing the right notes, I'm yotze. So mitzvahs kavana in general means I have to know I'm doing a mitzvah, and that's halacha across the board. You should, before you do any mitzvah, you should think in your head for 1 second, I'm about to do a mitzvah, and that's called mitzvahs kavana. That's like sometimes let's say like you're in shul for a Kriyas Megillah. So before they start waiting, usually they'll bang on the table and say, everyone should have kavana to be yotze with the brachos and mitzvah, because you have to know that you're doing a mitzvah right now. And that's true with any mitzvah you do. So certain things are obvious, like if you're in your kitchen and you just bake challah and you're taking off challah with a bracha, then obviously you're doing it for mitzvah. You don't have to think. I mean, it's always nice to think about it, but the context is clear that it's a mitzvah. But you can have times where you're doing an action of a mitzvah and you're just not thinking about it being a mitzvah, and therefore you're not yotze in a case like that. Yeah, you should always think, I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah. That's one level of kavana. The second level of kavana, which means knowing what I'm doing, I understand the purpose of the mitzvah. So when it comes to that, there are 3 mitzvos which require that you know what you're doing. One of them is sukkah. Because the sukkah, it says about sukkah, l'man yidu doraseichem, ki b'sukkos v'shavtis b'nei Yisrael. You sit in sukkah in order to, l'man, in order to, everyone should know that I dwelled in, that I put Klai Yisrael in sukkos in the midbar. So because the Torah says the purpose of it, therefore you must understand what you're doing, you go into a sukkah. So that's a mitzvah that if you walk in the sukkah and didn't know why you're there, many say you're not yotzei, because the Torah says you should be in the sukkah lema'an yedu, so you know this. The other two mitzvos, I guess less relevant to women, are tefillin and tzitzis. When it comes to tzitzis, it says lema'an tizkeru, so that you should remember all the mitzvos. And by tefillin, it says lema'an tiyeh toros Hashem beficha, that you should wear tefillin so the Torah Hashem is in your mouth. But those three mitzvos say the word lema'an in order too, and therefore those require, beyond knowing you're doing a mitzvah, they require you to understand the purpose of the mitzvah. Any mitzvah beyond that doesn't require, I mean, it's always, the more you understand it, the better. It's nicer, it's a better mitzvah, but you don't have to know why you're doing it. If you take the lulav and just do what you have to do, you can be clueless about why you're doing it. As long as you know it's a mitzvah, then you're yotzei. Same thing with shofar, and the same with anything else. When it comes to Shema, there's another type of kavanah, and davening. I mean, we talk about davening, kavanah and davening. So we understand kavanah to mean understanding what I'm saying. So again, obviously the best thing is always know what you're saying in davening. The point of davening is to connect to what you're saying. But the halacha is, if you daven and have no clue what the words mean, you are yotzei, except there's two things you must know what they mean. One is the first bracha Shemon Esrei. You must know what that means. If you don't know what that means, you're not yotzei Shemon Esrei. So if you don't understand the words, you should learn the translation, get Hebrew English or whatever it is, you should know what it means. And also the first line of Shema. The very first Shema Yisrael, Shem Kim Shem Echad. If you said Shema, and you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, but have no clue what the words mean, then you're not Yotzi either. You have to know that first line of Shema and the first Baruch Shem Esrei. The rest of davening, you don't have to know what it means. Obviously, it's good, and you should, and it's nice, and it's much more meaningful. If you sit there saying gibberish your whole life, then it's not very fulfilling. If you understand the concepts, then it is more fulfilling. So the more you understand davening, the better. But when it comes to the first bracha of Shema Esrei and the first line of Shema, you must know what they mean. That's an important halacha. If you don't know what they mean, you're not yotzei what the mitzvah. Some say, in addition to that, you also have to know that what Baruch Shem Kol Malchuso L'Olam V'Ed means. Those two lines. So Shema and Baruch Shem. So based on that, it's good to go through just shortly what Shema means. Just to understand. I mean, I think we can probably all just translate the words. But when it comes to Shema Yisrael, there's more than just a translation. So we'll give the brief understanding now. Maybe we'll go a little more in depth next time. So Shema Yisrael, literally, hear Israel. So that's the first two words. And the meaning behind that is a fascinating thing. It's that we're about to declare right now Hashem's Achdus. Hashem is one. Hashem is the only power over the world. Shema Yisrael being the first two words are actually looked at as a clue to us that one of the best ways to understand Hashem in the world is to understand in Klal Yisrael. So Shema Yisrael, the way you introduce Hashem being one is to understand Klal Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Shem Kim Shem Echad tells you that your connection to others, your appreciation of Klal Yisrael, your love for other Jews, your appreciation of watching how Klal Yisrael functions, that's a ticket to understanding Hashem Echad. So that's a nice idea. Literally, but when you say Shema, you should be thinking in your head, Shema Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael, listen to this fact. Then we say Hashem Kim Shem Echad. So literally, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. But it's important to note here, when you say the name Hashem in Shema, Yudke Vavke, we pronounce it with the name Adnus. So usually when you say that name, you're supposed to be thinking what it means. Right? When you say Hashem's name, you should know what you're saying. You should know what it means. So the halacha is that typically, if you say Hashem's name, you should think Adon HaKol. So you're saying Yudke Vavke, and we pronounce it with the Shem Aleph Dal Nun Yud. You should think Adon HaKol, Hashem is the master of all. When you're saying it in the first line of Shema, you're supposed to have an additional kavana. An additional kavana is Haya Hovev Yihyeh. Hashem was, is, and will be. Because what you're doing is you're thinking about the way the name is written and the way we pronounce it as well. So it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the letters of Haya Hovev Yihyeh. Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem will be. It's Hashem's eternal existence. But we pronounce it with the word Aleph Dal Nun Yud, which is Adon, which is master. So you should be thinking about Hashem as the master of all. So even though typically it's sufficient to think about Hashem as the master as we pronounce the name, and when you say the name of Hashem in Shema, you should be thinking Adon HaKol, Hayahu Vihiyah. So at least in that one line in davening, you should be able to think about both of those meanings. When you say the word Elokeinu, so Elokeinu we usually translate as our God. Hashem is our God. When you say the name Elokeinu of Hashem, so we're supposed to think is three different things. Takif, which means Hashem is powerful. Baal Yecholis, Hashem has all the abilities of the world. Baal Kochos Kulam, Hashem is in control of all powers. So when you say the name Yudke Vavke, you're thinking of Hashem being the master of all and existing eternally. When you say Elokeinu, you're thinking about Hashem being Takif, the powerful one. Baal Yecholis, the one who has all the abilities of the world. And Baal Kochos Kulam, the one who's in control of all powers. That's Elokeinu. If you were to think about it on a more simple level, Hashem Elokeinu is that Hashem is the all-powerful God. He's Elokeinu. He's our God. Elokeinu is a name of Hashem that has to do with Hashkacha. And Hashem looks over us, cares for us. He's a personal God beyond being the creator of the world. That's Elokeinu. And then you get to Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. So again, when you say Hashem, you should think again that Hashem is Adonai Kol Hayov V'Hiya. Think those two different terms. Hashem is the master, who was, is, always will be. And they say Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. So being one has many meanings to it. The most simple understanding of one is that there's only one God. Hashem is the one God of the world. But beyond being the one God, we always have that. One of the foundations of Emunah is that Hashem within himself is one. I mean, Hashem, and the Rambam says that Hashem is the most, I guess, the most one of any one, meaning that Hashem doesn't have sections, Hashem doesn't have compartments, Hashem doesn't have any splits in his personality. I mean, we as humans, so often, you know, we feel there's different parts of ourselves. We feel we're one person, but like, you know, you have different feelings, different emotions, you have different types of days, different moods. So that's what we're kind of, in some ways, we have compartments within ourselves. Hashem is one. Hashem has no compartments, he has no splits, he has no complexities, he is exactly as he is. And beyond being that, when we say Hashem is one, we're saying Hashem encompasses all. There is nothing else other than Hashem. Eino mevado. That's another part of being one. When you say Hashem is one, what you're also saying is that Hashem, who is the God of kindness and mercy, who's Elokeinu, who's also the God of justice, he's all one. The mercy and the justice, the difficult times, the easy times, those all go together. It's all part of Hashkacha. It's all Hashem is one. That's Hashem Echad. So packed into Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is a lot of meaning. So you're recognizing Hashem's power of the world, Hashem's eternal nature, Hashem being the one who controls the world through Hashkacha, Hashem being the one and only power of the whole world. And we're seeing that both Hashem as a God of justice and Hashem as a God of kindness, that's all one. There's no splits, there's no compartments, this is how Hashem is, and it's all one thing. I guess one last interesting point. When you say the word Echad, so I want to discuss more, I think next week we'll talk about Mitzvah Hashem, the minog of how to pronounce the word. People say it long, Echad, or things like that, we'll talk about that. But just in the word Echad itself, so the Shulchan Aruch points, really based on the Gemara, that the letters of Echad, Aleph, Ches, and Dawud, indicate three things. Aleph is that Hashem is the one and only God. Ches, which is a Gematria 8, is that Hashem rules over the seven heavens and the earth. We have Zion Rakiyim, that's the Gemara talks about that, with some sort of Kabbalistic concept of having seven different levels of the heaven. And then the earth is the eighth, so you have Hashem is the one God. The Ches is he rules over the seven heavens and the earth. And then Dawud is four, which indicates the four corners of the globe. So Hashem rules over the seven heavens, the earth, and the four corners of the earth as well. That's Echad. The Ches, the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, if you look at the script in the Sefer Torah, the Ches has a little point at the top. It's kind of like you have two lines and then you comes to a point in the middle. You can look at it if you can't picture what I'm saying. So, because that indicates, you know, looking up, to Hashem is the power over the world. So that's supposed to sort of direct you towards Shemayim. But the word Echad, beyond this being one, it shows us Hashem's power, the scope of Hashem's power. Hashem is the one God, but not only the one God, he's the one God in seven heavens, one God on earth, and one God in all four corners of the planet. So that's the word Echad. So within those six words of Shema, there's a lot to think about. that's clear. again, for us, that in terms of the halacha, as long as you know the translation of those six words, and ideally you think about the names of Hashem, what they mean, so you've done your job. So, Shema Yisrael, hear Israel, Hashem, who's the master of the world, Elokeinu, he's the power over everything, he's our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, and that's the command we need to have in the first line of Shema. Okay, so we'll do more next week.